This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Emotional intelligence in feedback conversations. Why the feeling beneath the feedback determines everything. In short, emotional intelligence in feedback conversations determines whether honest words produce growth or defensiveness. And the mechanism is rooted in how the brain responds to perceived threat. The emotional tone of feedback reaches the brain before the content does. Trust and psychological safety determine whether someone can hear criticism at all. Self-awareness in the giver is just as important as empathy for the receiver. Definition: emotional intelligence in feedback conversations is the capacity to read emotional signals, regulate your own responses, and deliver honest messages in a way that other person can genuinely receive. It is the difference between feedback that changes behavior and feedback that only damages trust. Why feedback so often fails before it starts. I have sat in rooms where a manager delivered perfectly accurate feedback, word for word the right thing to say, and watched the other person leave worse than they came in. I spent a long time asking myself why. The answer was never in the words. Most people understand feedback at the surface level. You identify a problem. You describe it clearly. You suggest an improvement. That is the shape of it, as most of us were taught. If the information is accurate and the intention is good, the thinking goes, the message should land. But what actually happens is more complicated. The person receiving the feedback is not a passive container waiting to be filled with useful information. They are a human being with a nervous system, a reputation they care about, and a brain wired to scan for danger. Surface-level feedback skills treat the message as the only variable. The deeper reality is that the relationship, the timing, the tone, and the emotional state of both people in the room all shape what gets heard. Understanding this root-level reality changes how you prepare for feedback conversations. It changes what you say first, how you listen, and how you read what is happening in the room. If you want to give feedback that actually results in change, you need to understand why the emotional layer comes before everything else. For practical frameworks on giving feedback that holds relationships intact, the article on how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth your time. In this article, you will understand the mechanism that connects emotional intelligence to feedback effectiveness and what that means for how you communicate. The surface versus the root of feedback skills. Most people think feedback is a communication problem. They focus on structure: be specific, be timely, be constructive. These are not wrong, but they address the outside of the conversation, not the inside. At the surface level, good feedback looks like clear language, concrete examples, and a calm delivery. You describe what happened, explain the impact, and suggest a different approach. That is the visible part. It is teachable in an afternoon, and most professionals know it reasonably well. The deeper mechanism is emotional. Before any feedback lands cognitively, it lands emotionally. The person across from you makes a rapid, largely unconscious assessment: am I safe here? Is this person on my side or against me? Am I about to be embarrassed or respected? That assessment happens in seconds, and it determines whether the rational brain stays open or the defensive brain takes over. Understanding the root changes how you respond to the surface. You stop asking only "did I say the right thing?" and start asking "did they feel safe enough to hear it?" Emotional intelligence and feedback. The core mechanism explained. Here is the truth of it: feedback is a relational event before it is an informational one. The moment you open a feedback conversation, the other person is not primarily processing your words. They are reading your emotional state, your body language, and the history between you. The brain's direct response comes first. When someone receives critical feedback, the brain's alarm system activates quickly. It does not wait to assess whether the criticism is fair or well-intentioned. It responds to the feeling of being evaluated. If the environment feels unsafe or the tone feels harsh, the brain shifts resources away from open thinking and towards self-protection, which means that by the time you get to your carefully prepared observations, the person may already be defending rather than listening. Emotional tone travels faster than words. Your voice, your posture, and your facial expression communicate before your language does. If you are frustrated, dismissive, or uncertain, the person sitting across from you will sense it before you say a word. This is why two managers can deliver the exact same feedback script and get completely different results. The words are identical. The emotional signal is not. That is why emotionally intelligent feedback requires you to manage your own state before you manage the message. Self-awareness in the giver shapes everything downstream. If you do not know what you are feeling, you cannot control what you are transmitting. Many feedback conversations go wrong because the person giving the feedback is carrying something anxiety about the reaction, frustration with a pattern, or discomfort with conflict. Those feelings leak out. The receiver picks them up, and the conversation becomes about managing the emotional undercurrent rather than engaging with the content. The role of emotional intelligence in team synergy explores this dynamic at the team level, but it begins in individual conversations exactly like this one. Empathy is the mechanism that keeps the channel open. When the person receiving feedback feels genuinely understood, something shifts. Their nervous system settles. Their thinking opens. Empathy in a feedback conversation does not mean softening the message or excusing the problem. It means acknowledging the human being in front of you before addressing the behavior. A single sentence that shows you see their perspective can change the entire trajectory of what follows. This is why psychological safety matters so deeply. The article on what psychological safety is and how it drives team synergy lays out the research clearly, but the practice starts in one-on-one conversations. Receptivity is not fixed, it is created. People are not either open to feedback or closed to it. The openness in a given moment is shaped by the conditions you create. The trust between you, the timing you choose, the way you begin the conversation, all of these either build or erode receptivity before the critical message arrives. That is why emotional intelligence is not a soft skill alongside feedback. It is a mechanism that makes feedback possible. Taken together, this means that emotional intelligence in feedback is not a delivery style. It is the underlying system that determines whether honest words produce change or produce damage. What emotional intelligence in feedback looks like in real situations. Here is where this psychology becomes visible in everyday communication. The manager who always gets defensive reactions. A senior manager once described to me how his team never seemed to take his feedback on board. His delivery was clear. His examples were specific. But his people kept getting quiet and withdrawn after every conversation. When I watched him work, I noticed he always delivered feedback standing up, slightly elevated, arms crossed, voice flat. He was not trying to intimidate. He was not aware of what he was doing, but the emotional signal he was sending was dominance, not partnership. The content was fine. The emotional environment was closed before he began. The peer who gave hard feedback that actually helped. I once watched a colleague deliver some of the most direct feedback I've ever heard, with no softening and no hedging. The person receiving it leaned forward and said, "You're right. Thank you." What made it land was everything that came before the words: a relationship built on consistent respect, a private setting chosen with care, and an opening that acknowledged the difficulty of what was coming. The directness worked because the emotional groundwork had been laid. Without that, the same words would have felt like an attack. How psychological safety enables honest communication and sustains team synergy explains exactly why that groundwork matters. The meeting that turned into a confrontation. A team leader once pulled a colleague aside immediately after a difficult meeting to give real-time feedback on how she had handled a conflict. His timing felt efficient to him. To her, still flushed and unsettled from the meeting, it felt like an ambush. She went straight to anger. The feedback was accurate. The emotional conditions made it impossible to receive. The role of communication in meeting success includes timing as a core variable, and this situation shows exactly why. In each of these situations, the surface behavior was different. The root mechanism was the same. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why most people miss the emotional intelligence layer. If this insight is this important, why do so few people see it clearly? We are trained to focus on content, not conditions. Most feedback training teaches structure, what to say, in what order, with what kind of evidence. The SBI method is a strong tool for that. But structure is not the whole picture. When feedback fails, people go back and refine their words, tighten their examples, and adjust their script. They rarely examine what the other person was feeling in the room, or what they themselves were carrying into the conversation. Emotional signals feel invisible to the person sending them. When you are frustrated, you feel justified. You are not usually aware that your jaw is tight or your pace has quickened or your sentences have shortened. You think you are delivering calm, professional feedback. The person across the table is reading something quite different. This gap between what you intend and what you transmit is the blind spot that emotional self-awareness closes. Defensive reactions get blamed on the receiver. When someone pushes back, goes quiet, or seems unable to accept what they are hearing, it is easy to conclude that they are being defensive or difficult. Sometimes that is true. More often, the emotional environment of the conversation made a defensive response the only available option. Blaming the receiver keeps the giver from examining their own contribution to the breakdown. The short-term cost of emotional care feels high. Taking a moment to check your own state, to choose the right setting, to open with acknowledgement before criticism, these things feel slow when you have a message to deliver. The paradox is that skipping them costs far more time in damaged trust, repeated conversations, and unresolved issues that compound. Awareness is the beginning. But awareness without application changes nothing. What emotional intelligence and feedback means for how you communicate. Understanding this changes what you do in three specific ways. Number one, prepare your emotional state, not just your words. Before any feedback conversation, take a moment to name what you're feeling. If you're carrying frustration or impatience, it will leak into the room whether you intend it to or not. The concrete action is simple before the meeting. Ask yourself what you want the other person to walk away feeling. Orienting toward that outcome changes your internal state, and that changes your tone before you say a word. Number two, read the room before you deliver the message. Emotional intelligence and feedback is not just about what you bring. It is about what you read. Is the person in front of you settled or agitated? Have they just come from something difficult? Are they physically closed or open? The way someone holds themselves tells you whether this is the right moment for a hard conversation or the wrong one. If the conditions are poor, a brief delay in delivering the message is not weakness, it is skill. When conflicts are already running high, the strategies in how to handle conflict during meetings help you read and respond to those signals in real time. Number three, lead with acknowledgement before you lead with the message. This is not about flattery or preamble. It is about signaling to the other person that you see them as a person first, a problem second. One sentence that shows genuine understanding of their position can lower their defenses enough to make everything else possible. The concrete action before you share your observation. Name something true and fair about the other person's situation. It costs you nothing. It opens everything. Number four, listen as much as you speak. After the feedback lands, stay present. Emotional intelligence in the follow-through is as important as in the delivery. Watch for what the person does not say. Offer space before filling it. The quality of what comes back to you depends on the quality of the silence you allow. A feedback conversation, where you do most of the talking, is usually a sign that the other person is managing their reaction rather than engaging with the message. These are not new behaviors. They are the same behaviors, grounded in a deeper understanding of why they work. Key insights and next steps. Emotional intelligence in feedback conversations is the mechanism beneath every skill and every framework. Without it, even the best technique falls short. Feedback is a relational event before it is an informational one. The emotional environment determines whether the message gets through. The brain's threat response activates before the rational mind engages, which means safety must come before honesty can land. Your emotional state as the giver shapes the tone of the entire conversation, whether you are aware of it or not. Empathy does not weaken feedback. It is the delivery system that makes honest feedback receivable. Receptivity is not a fixed trait in the other person. It is a condition you help create before you speak. Timing and setting are not secondary details. They are part of the emotional intelligence of the conversation itself. To go deeper on the practical side of feedback delivery, the article on how to give feedback strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it gives you structure alongside the emotional awareness you now have. And if you want to understand what makes teams able to receive hard feedback without fracturing, what psychological safety it is, and how it drives team synergy is the right next read. This much I know for certain: the person who masters emotional intelligence and feedback becomes the person others trust enough to grow with. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional intelligence in feedback conversations? Emotional intelligence in feedback conversations is the ability to read emotional signals, manage your own reactions, and deliver honest messages in a way the other person can actually receive. It shapes whether feedback opens someone up or triggers a defensive shutdown. Why does emotional intelligence matter when giving feedback? Without emotional intelligence, even accurate feedback can land as an attack. People stop hearing the content and start defending themselves. Emotional awareness helps you time feedback well, match your tone to the situation, and preserve the relationship while delivering a hard truth. How does emotional intelligence affect how people receive feedback? Emotional intelligence and feedback affect receptivity directly. When people feel seen and respected before the message arrives, they are far more likely to stay open. When they feel judged or surprised, the brain shifts into self-protection, and learning stops entirely. Can emotional intelligence be developed for giving feedback? Yes, emotional intelligence in feedback conversations is a skill you can practice, not a fixed trait. Start by learning to pause before reacting, read the other person's body language, and separate your intent from your impact. Most people improve quickly once they understand the mechanics. What does low emotional intelligence look like in feedback conversations? Low emotional intelligence in feedback shows up as bluntness without context, poor timing, tone deafness to the other person's state, and surprise delivery. The feedback may be technically correct, but the emotional execution causes defensiveness, resentment, or disengagement rather than growth. How do you use emotional intelligence to give difficult feedback? Prepare your emotional state before you speak. Choose a moment when the other person is calm and receptive. Name the behavior specifically, not the character. Then listen as much as you speak. Emotional intelligence in difficult feedback means holding both honesty and care at the same time. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Shape Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.